Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
Revelation 21, verse 4 to 5, we're going to read this together. If you can, I want to ask you to stand as we read the Word of God together. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. In the name of Jesus, amen. This is God's word. Please have a seat. Yeah, one of the good things that we've been doing in this series is just hearing stories, you know, stories from people in our church community. So today we'll be hearing a story from Patso Mkwambisi. Patso, come forward. If you're here, let's hear it from Patso. Yeah, Patso, welcome, eh?
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Patso, she's a poet. Most of you know her as a poet here, and she's absolutely fantastic. But yeah, just tell us, you know, about yourself and your family.
My name is Mpato Mkwambisi, Mpato Mary Mkwambisi. I'm married to David. We met here at Flood.
Yay!
We've been married for 2 years and we have a daughter called Elisa.
Awesome. Thank you, Mpato, for your willingness to come here and share your story. I know one of the hard endings that you experienced was the death of your dad. Do you want to tell us about that?
All right. So it was, he passed away on the 27th of May, 2019. And it was after he had battled cancer it was only discovered in March, but I think it had been around since last year. So last year in August, he had an emergency trip to the hospital. He went to Kamuzu Central Hospital, where they did a scan on his body and just said, we think you have stomach ulcers, and that was it. So it was only in March when the stomach pains got quite severe, when they realized that his liver was swollen, and he had to undergo an emergency operation. So when they did the operation, they found out that he had a tumor, and they couldn't take it out because it had already spread across his whole body. So that was in March, and they did a biopsy, and the results came out, I think, somewhere in April. And he started chemotherapy in May, and he only did one chemotherapy treatment. It was on a Thursday, and he passed away the Monday after.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I remember I met your dad in Area 18 Hospital when Kate and I went to pray for him. And he got out of the hospital and he looked to have been fine until that morning when he passed on. Do you want to tell us the story that happened that day?
So after they did the operation and when they realized that they can't take out the tumor, all they could do was do a gastric bypass where they had to reconnect the intestines on another part of his body because the tumor had also blocked his intestines. So he reached a stage where he got into the hospital, he was walking, but then when he came out, he lost the ability to use one of his legs. So he stopped walking and he lost a lot of weight. And I think it reached a point where He couldn't even sit. He had to lie down all the time, and he had to be put on morphine. So he was surviving on painkillers like every day up until the day he died. Yeah.
Yeah, just tell us how the death of your dad affected you and your family.
It was a very trying time. There were so many emotions going on. Feelings of anger towards the medical personnel who were unable to detect the cancer at a very early age, a very, very early stage, because there was always that feeling that maybe if they had discovered this when he went to the hospital last year, maybe something could have been done a bit earlier. And feelings were very afraid, because life was going on as normal. And he was helping us move house. And the week that, like everything, everything just seemed normal. And then in a moment, everything changed. From him being able to walk, coming by to see us when we moved house, to the next day hearing that he has to undergo an emergency operation, and then seeing him just lose his strength and his frame just wearing out day by day, up until a point where he couldn't even stand. And I remember going to see him at home on Sunday. He was unable to come out of the bedroom, and that was the last time we talked. I could only call him and say, okay, I'm home now. And he said, okay, thanks. And then the next day, that's when I heard in the morning that he had passed away.
Did you say, was it today that his birthday? Today was your dad's birthday.
Yes, he would have been 55.
55, he would have been 55 today.
Yeah,
no, thanks for sharing, Pato. I lost my dad when I was 16, so it's not easy, it's not easy. But I remember when we came on that day that your dad passed, and Ked and I were talking to you and praying with you, and you said, somehow I feel this peace in my heart. How have you experienced God in this?
Growing up, my dad used to be, we'd say, legalistic in terms of his religious opinions. He believed that if whatever you want to believe, that's okay. Do not try to force that on anybody else. So growing up, I used to, especially when I had a personal relationship with God, I used to think, how do I reach out to him if this is the view that he has? And I thought that even him being in this situation where he just found out that he has cancer and it's at an advanced stage, how would he feel about God in this situation? I just thought this would be even tougher for him. But then it was a time when we saw that there's pretty much nothing that we can do but just surrender everything to God, because every day was hard going by day, because you never knew what phone call you'd get on any particular day. But then the day I think 2 days after the operation, he said he had a dream that was in April. He had a dream where there was a car that was very like damaged, beat up, and there were mechanics working on it, and they took quite some time working on it, and then up until it was fixed and it could run. And he was surprised in the dream. He was like, why am I dreaming about this? And then after some time, he realized that he was that person, he was the car in that dream. So when I heard that dream, I thought, okay, maybe the interpretation is that he's dreaming that he will get better, he will be healed. And then he passed, and I thought, okay, maybe that dream still seemed very valid to me, because this was God's way of healing him. Because even as the days went by, like the last week he had, the very same Thursday that he went for chemotherapy, he asked for a priest to come and see him at home. And he actually told the priest that I'm very sick and I don't know how things will work out for me. But then I'm asking for this opportunity to repent. So he had a time to repent and also to reconcile with God. And I only found out about this after, like when we're now heading for the burial, that's when I heard that this is what had happened the week before. So to me, that was like God came out for us, and he was there for him even in that season, especially that season where he was able to transform him, even at a time when things were not looking quite okay for him physically.
No, thanks for sharing with us. How can we be praying for you and your family?
I'd like to ask for strength, especially on this day. It's a very hard day for us as a family. And also for comfort and for understanding, especially for my mother. And I have a brother who's very introverted, more introverted than I am. So it's really hard to know what is going on in his mind. We don't know how he's feeling, how he's processing. So we could also pray for that as well for him.
Yeah, we will pray for you right now. Would you please stretch forth your hands as we pray for Pat and her family. God, we come to you. For in times like this, we actually don't know what to pray. But your Spirit who helps us in our weaknesses through words that cannot be altered, that he will do that from Pat's family. God, we pray that you bring a comfort that only you can bring. For we know our words are not enough. But you, God, are enough. And we pray, God, that you will comfort Pat's mom. And one of those kids was, a kid, they were our neighbor, actually, and her name was Rose. Rose, actually, is a daughter who belonged to our maid by the name of Ruth and Francis, and we were neighbors. So whenever I would drive into our compound, Rose would stand on the side of the road, 4 years old, Rose, and she would start singing, "Rastamani." Rasta money. In fact, it was Lasta. Lasta money. Lasta money. You know, as I'm coming through. So I would know, okay, I'm home and Rose is here welcoming me into our compound. 4 years old. There was one day when Rose was sick and they took her to KCH. And when they took her to KCH, they found out that Rose had two holes in her heart. And Rose was 4 years old by this time, and they say this condition actually do happen, that kids sometimes would be born with this heart defect where they have either a hole or holes in their own hearts. And sometimes they get naturally healed, but also there's an operation that could happen. So they informed the parents to say, hey, there could be an operation. However, this operation is done in India and often has been given to kids who are 2 years and younger. So Rose is ordered for this operation to happen. However, the Minister of Health was notified about Rose's condition and she was put on the waiting list because the government actually do subsidize. They sponsor kids to go and get an operation in India. So they put Rose on a waiting list. And we were just praying that, you know, God would intervene and this would happen. And there was one Tuesday when Rose got very, very sick. Her body was swollen. And Rose's dad, Francis, called me and said, hey, Rose is very sick. We just took her to the clinic. But now we are on our way back. She's not doing well. So I said, okay, we're going to come tonight to see you guys. So Kate and I went to visit them. And, Rose was very, very sick. And we prayed with them. I said, you know what, our only hope would be in God. So let's pray together. And I took Rose in my own arms and started praying for her. And when I finished, I said to her, Bobo Rose. And she said, Bo. So we said our goodbyes and we left. That was Tuesday. 2 days later, 1 a.m., I received a phone call. And it was Francis on the other end saying, Rose has passed away. Rose is gone. I went to see them right away to just hear what had happened. And he said that on that very night when they went to bed, Rose had difficulty in breathing. And that situation went south from then on. They were on their way to the clinic. And when they arrived, Rose was gone. And he said that entire week, for 7 days, Rose had not said a word. The only word that she said was on a Tuesday night when I held her in my hands and I said, Bobo Rose, and she said, Bo. That's the last word her parents heard. That's the only word that she said, and that was to me when she said, Bo. I don't know how it feels to lose a child. I don't know how it feels to lose your own kid. But I hear it's a type of pain that no parent wants to experience. No parent wants to see their own child dead. I don't know how it feels, but I can just imagine that pain to be so hard for anyone to endure. Pain is so cruel, isn't it? Loss is so cruel. Loss is so cruel. For you and me might not be losing a child, but all of us have experienced probably moments, if not, moments that we have spent sleepless nights, moments that we have experienced pain, that we cannot sleep and we don't know what to say, we don't know what to do, and we just break down. That we mourn, that we weep, that we cry. And it could not be maybe not losing a child, but it could be losing something. Something else that you lost in your own heart, in your own life. And you are like, I cannot bear this pain. It's so much. And you just break down. It could be a struggle. Maybe the loss of a relationship. It could be depression, anxiety, uncertainty, loss of a loved one. All of us do experience kinds of pains in our hearts, in our own lives, that do just break us. And there is a lot of tears that come. And this morning, we are reading in Revelation 21. Because here's what will happen. Tears will come. It's not a matter of if tears will come, it's a matter of when. Tears will come. But Revelation 21 verse 4 says, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. For the old order of things have passed away. And what we are learning in this scripture is that often God does not stop the tears from coming, but He wipes the tears when they come. God does not stop the tears from coming, but He wipes the tears when they come. You will experience moments that you will mourn, that you will weep. And God often will not stop that, will not stop that experience, will not stop that pain, will not stop you from experiencing that which will bring you tears. But when your tears come, be assured that God will wipe every tear that comes from your eyes. He will not stop the tears from coming, but He will wipe the tears when they come. So this morning, I wanted us to look into the hope that we have in Jesus, the hope that we have in God that we are finding in this book, Revelation 21, when He says, I will wipe every tear that comes from your eyes. I will wipe the tears. I will wipe the tears. And in a moment of pain and suffering, in a moment of tears, that we can have this hope in Jesus Christ. And the reason why we can hope, we can have this hope, is because of the first truth that we are finding in this passage, is that every tear attracts God's attention. Every tear attracts God's attention. Scripture says He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Not some tears from their eyes, but every tear will be wiped out. There is no single pain that will skip God's face. There's no single pain that will skip God. God will pay attention and He will wipe every tear from your eyes. He'll wipe every tear from your eyes. So you might be in a situation where you're like, I don't know if this pain will end at all. I don't know if there will be hope in this at all. I don't know if God is close to me at all. But every pain attracts God's attention. God is so close to you. Every pain attracts God's attention. And what this means is, for your tears to be wiped, it means that you have to be noticed. For you to wipe someone else's tears, it means you have to notice. You have to notice that they're hurting. You have to notice that they're in pain. You have to notice that they're mourning. You have to notice they're weeping and they're crying. So God notices when we mourn. But He doesn't only notice God is concerned when we mourn. He's concerned. But he's not also not only concerned, but God comes closer to us when we mourn. And he doesn't only just come closer to you. He touches you and wipes those tears. He touches you and wipes those tears. There is no tear that skips God's attention, because God will notice that you are hurting, and that pain will attract him. He attracts his attention. Psalm 34 verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Your tears invite God's attention, and your tears never skips his attention. So he says, so it's fine for you to shed your tears, because they will attract his attention and God will notice. So when you're going through a hard time, a hard season, and it feels like God is far away from you, it feels like God is looking away from you, it feels like maybe God is not in this, I can pray. You know those times when you pray and you feel like your prayers are just hitting the wall? They're not going through to God. In those moments, you have to know and believe this truth and know that God sees and God hears and God knows. God sees you in your tears. God knows you when you're suffering, when you're in pain. And God hears your prayers when you're in pain. Because every tear attracts God's attention. So he will not stop the tears from coming. But the truth is, he will wipe every tear. He'll wipe every tear when it comes. God's response to pain is that he comes closer to us and he wipes our tears. And therefore, we can have hope. In the midst of pain and suffering and tears, we can have hope in God. The second reason why we can have hope in God is because God will interrupt the norm and bring an end to suffering. God will interrupt the norm and bring an end to suffering. The second part of verse 4 says, "There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." We live in a world full of pain and suffering. And this is because we live in a broken world, a world which is full of sin, evil, and brokenness. And because of sin, evil, and brokenness, there is a lot of disease, hunger, suffering, and pain all around us. There's a lot of brokenness in our world. But God doesn't just look at brokenness forever. He will fix brokenness in the end. God will fix it in the end. And the scripture here is saying that the old order of things, the old order of things will go away. The old order of things has passed away. We can, because we are living in this world where we are born and eventually we die. That's the order that we have. You know, the order that we have is that we are born and we have successes, but we have failures, that we have pain and suffering. But there will be a day when God will interrupt that order of things and things will change. Things will no longer be the same that you're born and you die. Things will no longer be the same. And when God interrupts the order of things, he gives you a no more. He gives you no more pain. He gives you no more suffering. He gives you no more crying. God will interrupt the old order of things and he'll say, no more. This is enough. No more pain, no more suffering. And therefore, we can have hope in God, because we know that God will interrupt the old order of things and will end suffering. The old order of things demands that we are born and we die, but God will interrupt that and give us eternal life. The old order of things demands that there are tears, but God will interrupt that and he will give us joy. He will give us joy. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Sometimes you might have a hard season and God brings you relief that you get out of that. But often that's more of like a painkiller. You know, a painkiller does not really heal you, but it relieves you of pain. And now our successes are just like painkillers. But there will be a time when God will heal us completely. That there will be full completion of healing. There will be healing, that we're going to be healed fully, and there will be no more suffering. There will be no more pain, no more crying. He's going to heal us completely. Because deep down our pain, there is a longing. Deep down our pain, when you are mourning, there's a longing in you that things shouldn't have to be this way. When you are crying, you are saying, this is not the way things should be. This is not the right way that things should be. There should be another way. And in the end, God will fulfill our deepest longing. That yes, you're right, things should not be this way. I'm going to interrupt this norm and nature and create something new, something beautiful. The old order of things will pass away. Our deepest longing, that things shouldn't be this way. I shouldn't be suffering this way. My child shouldn't be suffering this way. My friend shouldn't be suffering this way. Our deepest longing will be fulfilled in the end. Because God will interrupt the norm. He will interrupt that and bring an end to suffering. Bring an end to suffering. Therefore, you can have hope today. You can have hope in God today. You can have hope in this moment, whether you're going through through hard time, or you just experienced a hard ending in your life. You can have hope that God will interrupt the norm and bring an end to suffering, because He doesn't just look at brokenness forever. He fixes brokenness in the end, and He will do it. Amen. And lastly, the last truth that we are seeing in this is that God never escapes pain, but He confronts it. God never runs away from pain, but He confronts it. Verse 5 says, He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. These words are trustworthy and true. When you're thinking about the kingdom of God, when you're looking at the kingdom of God, you can have this idea that there will be a time when the kingdom of God will come. So, you can be seeing that the kingdom of God is a place that we go to. So we're going to go to the kingdom of God, or we're going to go into heaven where God is. So it's okay. We can, in this world, we're just passing through. This world is not our home. And there will be a time when we're going to go and be in the kingdom of God. Now, that view has a problem, because it views God as though God is so distant that God is not actually close to us. But the better way of viewing God's kingdom is what Jesus teaches us when we pray in Matthew chapter 6. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is so involved in our affairs. He is not distant. God is so involved in our affairs. So He says, I am making everything new. I am making everything new. So we have to view the kingdom of God and not something that's very distant, but something that is in us. Jesus Christ says, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within us. God is with us right now in this moment. He is here with us. So He says, I am making something new. This is very interesting. He's not saying, I will make something new. No. It's a present continuous tense. I am making right now, in this moment, in that season of your hardship, God is making something new. In that season of your pain, God is making something new. So He says, I am making something new right now. I'm making something new right now. God will bring healing right now, and He will bring healing. God will not just save us in the end, but He is saving us right now. God will not just heal us in the end, but He is healing us right now. God will not just redeem us in the end, but He is redeeming us right now. He is making something new today, in this moment, right now, in this season. So God is not distant. God is closer, and He is so involved. God's way of rescuing us from evil is not to create an escape plan. That this is the plan that all of us are going to run away from evil. But actually, God confronts evil. He confronts evil. Therefore, we can have hope in him. 1 John 3, verse 8 says, "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Jesus Christ does not run away from evil. He goes and he confronts it. And guess what? He comes out victorious. He comes out victorious when he goes and confronts evil. When he goes and confronts suffering, he comes out victorious. So we should not leave that there is an escape plan, that we're going to, God is just going to yank us out. But no, God, he says, you know what? I'm going to confront this evil. I'm not going to run away. I'm going to confront this evil. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. Peace is found in Jesus Christ when you put your faith in him, because we know that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. So yes, it is hard in whatever you're going through. Yes, it is difficult. Yes, it is true that you are suffering. But just know that Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and therefore you can take heart. You can have hope. You can rejoice again, because he, Jesus Christ, has conquered and overcome the world. He's not dismissing your pain. He is not dismissing your tears. He is not dismissing your fears. They are there. Those things are there. But we put our hope in Jesus Christ, who has overcome the world. He has overcome the world. And there is no better person to tell us to have peace, to be still. There's no better person to tell us that take heart than Jesus Christ. Because he himself suffered unjustly. He himself endured pain that we cannot begin to describe. He himself went through hard times and hard endings that we cannot begin to imagine. So he empathizes with us when we suffer, when we are tearing down, when we are in pain. He understands. But he says, take heart. He is with us and he is here. And may he be your hope today. May Jesus Christ be your hope. Our hope in this series has been that we would lay down that which we wanted so that we can gain God. And laying down has a concept in itself that we freely come and put it at the feet of Jesus. Because what happens is when we put our pain and suffering at the foot of at the feet of Jesus, we lay there and then we look up and we see his beautiful face. We see him, that we encounter him in the moment of laying down. So what pains do you have to lay down this morning at the feet of Jesus? What endings do you have to lay down at the feet of Jesus this morning?
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.